Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one this evening. And we do give everyone a very warm welcome in their service tonight in the name of the Lord. And the Lord bless those that's here. And the Lord bless those that's tuned in this evening as well online. And we just look for the Lord's help this evening. And I don't know if everyone saw the little bit I'd put up. Brother Barry Coffey keeps me posted with the brethren out in Lithuania, and there's lots of people out in Lithuania, and they're going through it. They're going through a hard time, and some people say there's no war going on. There's a lot of propaganda people, and they think nothing's happening. Well, that's not right. There's definitely stuff happening, and there's bombing and shooting, and there's lots of things happening, and there's people, missionaries and different people right out there amongst it, and they can hear it and see it, and some footage, some people's afraid even to give their identification up where they are. So we want to keep praying for them, that God will be with them and help them, and lots of people are helping out in different parts of the world, and may the Lord bless each and every one of them. And it's hard to follow it all, I know that, and strange things are happening, aren't they? You know, I was just saying to a fella the other day, I remember as a wee fella, probably at about Isaac's age, thinking back, and I remember going into Pontridge's garage in Dromore. It's no longer known as that now. It's a big garage going into Dromore. And I remember my father saying to the man, he says, the petrol will go to £1 a litre. And the man says, Billy, catch yourself on. You mean £1 a gallon? And my dad said, no, £1 a litre. And he says, we'll see it in our lifetime. And the fella said, you'll never see it in our lifetime, Billy. But it's 1.70 the night a litre. Never mind £1. And you know, it hasn't went up. But the boys in the garages have put it up. Because that's the same fuel was in the tank last week. Great. But this is what's happening. And you know, the whole financial thing in the world is going to collapse. We know that. Now, I don't want to get into that tonight. That's not my subject. And I want the Lord to keep me on subject. What I'm going to talk about this evening. I don't want to get waylaid onto something else. And you know, I believe there's ministers, there's teaching ministers. And they could go into these things. And we need that as well. All these things. And we know that Russia's in the Bible as the bear. We know that. And then we know also it talks about when they strike oil. When they strike oil. And there's lots of things in there about it. And you know what there is in Ukraine? There's minerals in the earth, very rich minerals in Ukraine, more than a lot of them other countries. And we have an old saying here in Ireland, that boil not by a hole, there's no rat in. The wee terrier. You'll never see a good terrier at a hole, there's no rat in. And Putin's not going into Ukraine just for the sake of it. He's after something. He's like the terrier after the rat. And it's all at the end of the day, it's money. And the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. That's what it's all about. And who gets killed in between and all, people don't worry about that. But you have to think of the lives that's affected in along all that. It's terrible. And every soul's precious in the eyes of the Lord. Let us turn to Leviticus tonight for just a few verses. And may the Lord bless you and bless all that's tuned in this evening. And I want us to pray especially for Brother Timothy tonight. And he's maybe even tuned in here this evening from hospital. He's still in hospital. His kidneys is down to 40-something% functioning. He's an infection. They were at 70-something, they're down to 40-something. He's just a young man. We want to pray for him that God will touch him. Yeah. And I want to have a service maybe next Sunday morning. I'm feeling it really strong in my heart. A healing service. Where I pray for people. So remember that, pray about it for next Sunday morning. They will have a service like that. And don't be worrying about COVID. Because if you're going to believe in getting prayed for, you're going to get hands laid on you. So you're going to have to take the choice if you got the faith to come and believe, or you're going to be worried about COVID. And the Lord will lay his hands on you, you'll get nothing, only a blessing. That's the only thing he'll give you, a touch from God. So let's believe God, and we need to start bringing into practice. I believe the Holy Spirit's saying to me, as a pastor, Tommy, keep practicing the word. Now, healing's part of it, laying hands on's part of it. And all these rules and regulations, once all that stopped, but we need to keep practicing what the Word of God declares. And we're going to do it if we believe in the four square gospel, don't we? Savior, a healer, baptizing the Holy Ghost, the coming King. I wear the badge, and I really believe it. And I believe it's true this evening, praise God. Let's read from verse 7 of Leviticus 6. The priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done and trespassing therein. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his son, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. It is burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night upon the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen breeches, shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar, and he shall put off his garments and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it, it shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay burnt offering in it, in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the meat peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Now this evening I can't go into these garments, but there's a very sermon in the priest changing his garments. There's a sermon in that as well. There's a sermon in everything that you see here. There's a message in it, and a wonderful message. Now here's the key for me as a preacher. I'm not here tonight to talk about Tommy McKinstry. That'd be a waste of time. Nobody wants to hear about that. I am here to talk about Jesus Christ. I want you to see him in these pages. And that's what I'm going to try to do, is show him in all of detail from this text this evening, if the Lord will help us. Let's come and let's bow our heads tonight before the Lord. And if you have a need, the Lord bless you. Just lift your hand up before the Lord and God bless you, God bless you. There's many tonight, and our brother Timothy as well. God bless, God bless. Our Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that we have open access to come from your footstool into your very throne room and into your very presence by the new and living way, through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, I plead the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb of God over my life and over everyone in this house. And all that's listening in tonight, I plead the merits of the blood of the Lamb of God. I come against every spirit of the enemy in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Break the spirit of fear and bondage and anxiety in Jesus' name. I'm asking you this evening for Brother Timothy. Lord, that you'll indeed touch his kidneys. Take the pain out of him. Cause him to function normal. And touch his heart. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, for the hand of the sister and the brother. For everyone in this room. Lord, will you touch them? Will you meet their need? Will you give them the very heart's desire? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm asking you. And Father, for others tuned in tonight, whatever their needs are, may you grant it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost to help me. And I thank you that you do. Lord, I pray that you'll give me your thoughts as I cast down all reasoning, all vain imagination, and everything that will exalt the yourself against the knowledge of Christ the Lord. I'm asking you to come off these pages. I'm asking you that we'll see you tonight, and that you'll do your people good. Save the lost and heal the sick, and get to thyself all the praise and all the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. God bless each one. Now I mentioned this morning, and I couldn't go into it tonight because it's too much, but when you take the word altar, and there's so many times it's mentioned in the Bible, the ark, and Noah's ark, and I mentioned a bit this morning, but I can't go into it tonight. It's too much. I won't even get through. I have so many things what I've penned down and so many scriptures, and I just want to go as the Lord leads me, and I won't try and be too long. And I never worry about finishing a message, because you can't really finish any message. It continues. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, so is the word of the Lord. But the word altar simply means high place. High place. That's what the word altar means. Or that which has been lifted up. The altar with its sacrifice profoundly speaks to us, ultimately, of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 3:14, Moses says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And Christ was lifted up upon the cross, and this altar, and you see in this picture, you have the gate with all those beautiful colors, which is on four pillars, which represent the four Gospels, and straight in front of the gate is the altar. So when you come through the gate, you're coming straight to the altar. And this altar speaks to us of the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross. And we're going to really have a real look at it this evening. Through the altar, Israel was lifted up in the fellowship of God. And you can have no fellowship with God outside of coming to the altar. Joining a church won't bring you into fellowship with God. Joining a movement won't bring you into fellowship with God. It is only through God's provided sacrifice, this altar, that you can come into fellowship with God. And these Israelites, when they came through the gate, they were lifted up into fellowship with God. The cross of Christ is a ladder which reaches to heaven. Like Jacob talked about the ladder he saw. And Jacob saw a ladder, and it was a way to God, set up on the earth. And it lifts us up into communion with the Father. And it is only through the Lord Jesus Christ and his altar at Calvary that we come into communion with the Father. Amen. To come into contact with the altar was to come in touch with the claims and the characters of the Holy God through the sacrifice. And the only way you can come into touch with the claims and characters of Christ is through that sacrifice of Christ. There's no other way you can have the blessings outside of him. You must come through him. At the cross, the sinner comes into contact with the goodness and the severity of God. Praise God. Condemnation of sin, yes, but there's mercy. God condemns a sin, but not the sinner. For it's not God's will that any should perish. God so loved the world, the whole world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." This altar, burnt offering, lifted up. All that was laid on it. All that was laid on it was lifted up. Praise God. The sacrifice was lifted up in the form of smoke by the consuming fire, burnt continually thereon. That's the heart searching truth, you know. Because God wants our sacrifice to be like an incense going before him. And as Christians, we need to make a sacrifice of praise before the Lord. When we don't feel like praising him, we need to praise him. When we don't feel like going to church, we need to go to church. God wants our sacrifice as believers to be lifted up before him. He wants us to make an effort. And there's an effort here made. And God wants us to make an effort for him. Are we willing that our and smoke, like this sacrifice was for the glory of God. If I've been lifted up, crucified with Christ, as the fire of the Holy Spirit feeding in my life, I'm offering myself to the Lord. I'm fully committed to the work of God. That's what we have to ask ourselves tonight. A brother mentioned this morning that we don't want to be playing church. Real Christians don't want to play church. Real Christians want to serve the Lord. They want to offer themselves fully to God. Lord, what's your will? This is what I'd like to do, but what's your will, God, for me? And that's what we want. We want God's will, ultimately. And is he causing my whole being to be like a sweet savour unto God? That's what it's like, you know, when we're praying and sacrificing to the Lord. The sacrifice being dead was unconscious of its own virtue because it was dead. Moses wished not that his face shone. God wants us to come into a place where we forget about ourselves. Where it's nothing to do with me or you, that we wish not the Spirit of God's on us.
Amen.
It's not about me or you, it's about the Lord.
Amen.
It's about his anointing, his presence, his blessing. And Moses wished not that his face shone. The people couldn't even look at him. And he didn't even really know it himself. He was so in the presence of God that he shone before the people. And all that God's presence would come on every one of us, that would be shining before the Lord with the glory of the Lord. Such a blessing. The state of unconsciousness as he prayed. The fashion of his countenance was changed as he prayed. Now I want us to notice further about this altar, the purpose of it. Firstly, I want you to see the purpose of this altar this evening. That's only my introduction, by the way. What it brought you so far. There's a lot in this, what you can bring out. And I've preached in this before, but I'm coming a different angle this evening than what I brought out before. I'm bringing it different. You can come different ways in the Bible to bring out something. So the book of God is a book of jewels. It's a book of nuggets. Praise God. The brazen altar standing at the gate of the entrance. That's what it was. Represented the claims of God. As a holy, righteous God, he has claims that must be satisfied before he can have mercy. And you know there's mercy with God, but you must come to the mercy seat to get the mercy. There's mercy for the drunkard. There's mercy for any sinner of the night. But they must come to that mercy seat of God. And Jesus Christ is God's mercy seat this evening. Now I know that some preachers are preaching mercy's over. Well, I'm sorry, if it was over, they wouldn't be here. Because if mercy was over, God would wipe every one of us on the face of the earth this instant. I believe the book of Psalms that the mercy of God will endure forever. Amen. And we're living in the day of grace, and we're living in the day of mercy. There's mercy with the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord can be saved because of mercy. Praise God. The altar must be filled before man can approach God in peace. And you see, that's what it is. We must come to Christ. The altar was filled and all the demands of a holy God fully met. When Christ died on the cross and he cried in John 19 verse 30, it is finished. He cried from the cross. He cried from the place where we can find mercy. It's finished. That means it's finished for me and you. We can be saved. We no longer have to go on and sin. We can be saved. Saved. Because Jesus was sacrificed in our place. He took our place. We were guilty. He wasn't. Now, I read something in Leviticus in chapter 6 starting. The priest offered for himself and then the people. Also, I've read it many times before in other scriptures. But Christ never had to offer for himself. His offering was all for us. Can you say amen this evening? His offering was all for me and you, not for himself. For he had no sin and he knew no sin. This is why his priesthood is superior and supreme to the Levitical priesthood. The great purpose of the altar was to burn sacrifices. Here the sin offering was slain, then carried without the camp, but its blood was poured out at the bottom of the altar. The value of the sin offering lay in the blood. The value of it lay in the blood. And I want you to think of the sacrifice we're preaching about tonight, the Lord Jesus. And I want you to think of the value of His blood. The value of the blood of Jesus cannot be compared to the bullock or a lamb or a turtle dove or a pigeon. There's no blood can be valued like the blood of Jesus Christ, because it is supernatural blood. It is God's blood that was in Him. And it had no sin, no original sin was in the blood of Jesus Christ. All of us have blood in our bodies. And we heard this morning from Leviticus 17:11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar. He poured out His life's blood at the cross. And here we see it even in this Old Testament. The blood was poured out at the bottom of the altar, so that men and women can enter in. The value of the sin offering, the blood is the life, or the life is in the blood. Leviticus 17, verse 11. This was left at the foot of the altar, laid down before God. Aren't you glad the blood was laid down before God? We could never approach God if the blood had not been laid down. We could never come to God if the blood had not been laid down. But we have open access back to God because the blood has been laid down. There is a clear pathway by the blood to God. And when you come through that blood, you're cleaned. We heard it this morning. You're made whole. Your sins will I remember no more. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from all sin and all unrighteousness. Here we see Christ as a sinner's substitute, pouring out His soul unto death. Isaiah 53, verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Aren't you glad for that tonight? Revelations 12:11 says he overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. It is only by the blood of the Lamb we can overcome. And Jesus Christ shed His blood so that we by faith could wash in the blood of the Lamb and overcome the devil. The greatest weapon for the church tonight is actually the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the greatest weapon. That's why the devil doesn't want preachers to preach the blood. He doesn't want you to pray about the blood. He doesn't want you to sing about the blood. That's why he takes the blood of the hymn books. He wants a Bible that's bloodless, a message that's bloodless, because he wants the people to have a living gospel. Right. But the gospel we have is living, and it's bleeding, and it's alive tonight, praise God. And he's a bloody offering. And thank God for that bloody offering. For when I see the blood, I will pass over you, praise God. The burnt offering represented Christ as a holy, devoted one. Was entirely consumed upon the altar. Only the skin was saved. This was given to the priest for the covering, covered through the sacrifice. And we're covered through the sacrifice. Jesus gave His body as a sacrifice. He laid His life down. That's what the Bible says. He gave up His soul unto death. We read it here in Isaiah. Now we also know that Adam and Eve were naked. Naked. God found them naked. And though they were naked, He gave them fig leaves to cover them. Fig leaves religion. A lot of people tonight, they made themselves fig leaves. And there's religion tonight which is called fig leaf religion. But we don't want fig leaf religion. God never accepted Adam and Eve's fig leaf religion. But when God came to them, and He saw their fig leaf religion, the first thing God done was sacrifice an animal. He killed an animal. He sacrificed it, and He made them coverings, and He clothed them. He clothed them. It is God that clothes us. And if we're not clothed with the clothing of God, we're naked before God. Naked in sin and trespasses before God. And here we see in the very Bible, people can say we shouldn't kill and do these different things. And I'm not saying We go out and slaughter and all them things. But God's the first one that sacrificed. And the Bible says, without the shedding of blood is no remission. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. That's God's inflexible divine law. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. God clothed them. We're all naked till covered with the righteousness of God, which unto all and upon all that believe. Revelation 3:18 says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with thyself, that thou mayest see. God has provided clothing for me and you this evening. Here's another thing I want you to see about this altar, the position of it. I want you to see the position of the altar. It stood in front of the gate. Stood in front of the gate. You see, when you come the right way, you can't miss it. People talk about missing it. You can't miss it if you come God's way. But you'll miss it if you go man's way. You will miss it. But God's way is simple. It's straight in front of you. Not to the left, not to the right, but straight in front of you is God's way. This reminds us that the atonement is the first necessity and approach to God. That's the first thing. You can't talk about gifts, you can't talk about anything until you first come to the cross. That's the first thing. Like a man of God said, he said, where do you start the sinner off at? You don't start him off on seven seas or the thunders. You've been wasting your time. You start him at Calvary. You start him at the cross. You start him at the sacrifice. And you need to get him to the sacrifice, and he needs to come in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ before he goes anywhere else. And I'm sad to say this evening, but I'm going to say it. There's a lot of churches that claim they've lots of revelation, but they do not preach the simplicity of Christ. They don't preach it. They're preaching different things, but they're not preaching the simplicity of Christ. But may God help us to preach something that people know and understand. Amen. The Bible says the common people heard Jesus gladly. They knew what he was talking about. And you know, I pray God will let me say something that you'll know what I'm saying. And even if it's with it, there wasn't a lot to it, but if it's only simple and you understand it, it's better than something you don't know about. And that's what God wants for his people. The first blessing our gracious God desires to give us is the forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. When the sense of sin is brought home to the heart, and that's what needs to happen. Men need to have a sense of sin brought home to the heart. They need to know they're sinners. And the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're born in sin. We're sheep in iniquity. There's no hope for us outside of Christ. We need to come to this altar. That's the first thing we need to do. How eagerly, like Job in the Bible, we long for a dead man to come between us and lay his hand upon both of us, as it were. Bring us together so that we can come to God. Those who refuse Christ and his crucified, Christ's crucifixion, when you refuse Christ and his crucifixion as a sin atoning substitute of no liberty to access God, when you turn the cross down and you say, we don't need the cross, you can no go no further. There's a blockage. You have to come to the cross to get to God. And if you don't come through the cross, you can't get to God. For there's one way and only one. That's through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. No other way. There's no back doors in this tabernacle. There's no side doors. There's a front door. And it's called the gate. And as soon as you go through the gate, you come to the altar. This altar that I'm speaking about. And this altar speaks to us of Christ. One way in and only one way. And when you come in this way, it brings you to all the blessings. This way leads to all the other ways of the blessing, of the riches, of the glory. Praise God. And the bread and the light, it all comes to you through the one way. One way. You can't come in the side door to the candlesticks. You can't do it. You must come first. I think that's wonderful. A lot of people want to bring people to the candlesticks, and they've never brought them to the gate. They want to bring them to the Shekinah glory, and they've never brought them to the gate. They want to bring them to the table of the showbread, and they've never brought them to the gate. Then there's other souls, all that wants to worship, the worship, the worship, but they've still never brought them to the gate. All them things will come, but they must start at the gate and come to this altar. And then when you come through the gate to the altar, you can get all these blessings. They'll follow. Praise God. They approach God disregarding the altar. You see, to disregard this altar, you know what it means? Death. It's death. For it is appointed unto man once to die. But after this, a judgment. There's a judgment for everyone. Cain tried it. That's what he tried. He ignored the blood and brought the curse of God upon him. Genesis 4:7. A sin offering laughed at the door. That's what God said to him. But Cain rejected God's way because he wanted his own way. His own way instead of God's way. And the Bible says Cain offered well. He offered well. But Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Abel offered the thing God required. And the thing God required wasn't falsa. It was blood. Blood. Bloody sacrifice is what God required. And that's what God accepted from Abel and rejected from Cain. And I tell you, there's a lot of Cain religion about tonight. Cain religion's a religion of works. Good works. Good works. It's good to do good. I preached the other week, Jesus done good. But if you have never been born again, no, I was thinking the other day, this is not a lifestyle change. This is not a new beginning of ways or a program. But born again means you're a new creature. God births you over again. You're born again. You're no longer who you were. You're a totally different person, really. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus when you're born again. I'm glad this evening, you know, and I might have mentioned some of the things I used to do, I'm ashamed of it, to be honest. But the Lord's changed me. I wouldn't do them things tonight. Even if it was a choice, I wouldn't do them. But the Lord's changed me. And I'm no longer my own. I'm the Lord's tonight. I belong to the Lord. You belong to the Lord, brother. You belong to the Lord, sister. The Lord loves you. And the Lord will put a table before you and prepare it in the face of your enemies. For the Lord loves you. And remember, when I preach about God's love never changes. It doesn't go up and down like the wave of the sea. God's love remains the same. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says God is love. Amen. Look at this. It is there for us. It has a voice. The blood has a voice. Look unto me and be ye saved. God says, Isaiah 45, verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there's none else. There's no other way, no other way of salvation, no other place of salvation, only through the altar that God's provided, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be careful we don't trample upon it and put it under feet. Now I want you to see the material of it tonight, of this altar. I want you to see the material. These two materials, nobody would have believed they were used for what they were used for. It's a bit like Noah's Ark. Nobody would have believed that you'd use gopher wood to build the ark. Nobody would have believed it. The modern builder would never have used it, but God said to use it. And I couldn't explain then, neither could you. We can now because we can read the Bible. But God knew what he was doing. God knows everything, doesn't he? Amen. Singularly enough, it was compassed, composed of two different materials, shittim wood and brass. Now this wood speaks of the humanity of Jesus Christ, and this brass speaks of the judgment of God. But you see, the wood was saf, you couldn't burn in wood, or it would burn, wouldn't it? But when the brass is over the wood, it can't burn. And it was made from wood, but it was overlaid with brass. And God was in Christ. Amen. He was more than just a man. He was God in flesh. And this is what this speaks to us tonight. Two distinct elements and one altar. Man would never have thought of putting wood in the altar. Had it not been revealed to Moses on the mountain, never have thought of it. The altar like Christ, the Son of Man, must have a twofold nature, type, perfect, both God and man. The word speaks of the truly human sympathy of Jesus, while the brass reveals the strong, enduring character of the divine one. The strength of God. The character of God. These two elements in one, and that for the salvation of man. They came together. God came down. God came in a man, like you're a man, I'm a man. God in Christ was a man. And yet he was still God. That's a real mystery, but that's the Bible. That is the Bible. Praise God. That human nature of Christ was not consumed. And coming into such a close relationship with the divine is a mystery as great, perhaps, as that of the Word. And this altar was not consumed with a fire. How didn't it burn? It didn't burn because of the brass. Without the brass, it would burn. An ordinary man would burn. In the sense, an ordinary man couldn't have done it. A good man, a prophet, a priest, a king, couldn't have done what Christ done. But it was more than a man. This brass tells us that. It was God in a man. And it wasn't just God in part. It was God in absolute fullness. For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He left the glory and splendor of heaven above. He took upon him the form of a man. He lowered himself a little lower than the angels. And he came down to that sin-cursed earth. He says, I come from God. I go back to God. I'm going to go back to the Father who's with him before the world began. Then we know the scripture says all things are made by him. All things are made for him. And without him was not anything made that was made. He is the beginning of the creation of God. That's the man we're talking about. He's a special man.
Amen.
Unique man. One of a kind. There's not another one like him. That's how unique he is this evening. The divine fire was in the human bush, yet the bush was not consumed when Moses saw it. Although the altar was partly wood, it was never called a wooden altar. Never was to address as a wooden altar. And a lot of people talk so much about the human part of Christ, and that's true, but that's a half-truth. What about the divine part? What about the divine part? He could walk on the water. He could calm the raging sea. You know, God's servant said he was a man when he slept in the boat. But when he stood up and said, peace be still, he was God. He was a man when he cried at Lazarus' tomb and he wept. But when he said, Lazarus, come forth, and a man that was dead 4 days, that was God talking. And the dead in the grave of a bed of it came forth and lived.
Amen.
A man that was dead 4 days lived again. That was God talking.
Amen.
Remember this evening when you're working with this sacrifice of Christ, you're working with something that's very special. You're working with the power of Almighty God. You're working with the presence of Almighty God. You're working with the message of Almighty God. You're working with the unchangeableness of Almighty God. It's Hebrews 13, verse 8, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, praise God. One that was strong and mighty, so that when the sacrifice was laid upon it, it was indeed help laid on one that was mighty. My, aren't you glad there's one you can come to this evening and he's mighty? One that you can rest upon and he'd be fit to carry you. He'd be fit to change you, fit to save you, fit to heal you, fit to deliver you. Your friends could fail you, he'll never fail you. Your friends could forsake you, he'll never forsake you. He says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end. He'll hear your cry.
Amen.
He'll hear your prayer. Brother or sister listening in tonight, the Lord hears you. The Lord's near you. The Lord's with you. The Lord can heal you. The Lord can deliver you. Because he is this one we're speaking about tonight, and he's wonderful. 2 Kings 16:14 tells us, and he brought also the brazen altar, which was before the Lord, from the forefront of the house, from between the altar and the house of the Lord, and he put it on the north side of the altar. This was the way to go, straight in, straight to the altar. He didn't come straight in and go anywhere else. This confronted you. It confronted you. And if you're going to really come to God this evening, my friend, if you're real about coming to God, you must be confronted with the cross. And you must do something about the cross. And you can go no further from there if you don't do something with the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The great Prince of Preachers, C.H. Spurgeon, called him the God-man. I like that. I like the way Spurgeon says it. He said that Jesus Christ was a God-man. That's wonderful. He was man, and yet he was God in one. Praise God. Here's another thing I want you to see about this evening. And this, I'll have to stop after this because the time's beating me tonight. I want you to see the size of it. The size of this altar. Now, I preached on this before, and I mentioned a lot of things about it. It would seem that by comparing the measurement given of the other vessels with that of the altar, it had the capability, it had the capacity to contain all the other vessels. This brazen altar of sacrifice had the capability and the capacity to contain all the other vessels. All the cups, all the spoons could be placed in it, and they did put them in it. And in Jesus Christ is all fullness. All the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. The fivefold ministry comes from him. It didn't come from a church. It comes from the Lord. The gifts of the Spirit come from him. They all come from the Lord. And they're all contained in him. And if you get the Lord Jesus Christ, you're getting the thing that everything's in. He is the baptizer with the Holy Ghost. He is the baptizer with fire. He's the one that gives you tongues, prophecy, and all the other wonderful gifts. It's all contained in him. Thank God it's contained in him tonight. All contained in him. You'll not need to go nowhere else. You need to go to him. If you want the blessing, go to him. If you want the power, go to him. If you want the gifts, go to him. All's contained in him. Hallelujah. For doesn't it tell us, every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadowy nor turning. Praise God. This is really suggestive this evening. All spiritual blessings flow out of the atoning death of Christ. He delivered them up for us all. Romans 8:32. How shall we not with him also freely give us all things? It is with Christ that you're given all things. All things you need, all things I need, come from the Lord. All your blessings, all your inheritance, come from the Lord. It is the Lord that brought you into the position where you are tonight. And it's all in him. You don't need to look nowhere else. It comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. All other vessels were sprinkled with the blood of sacrifice. And so connected with the altar. Hebrews 9:21-22. Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. They were all sprinkled with the blood. The life's in the blood. The life is in the blood. And you know, we talk about the token. The token today is the life of that blood. And the token life, when the blood seal of Jesus Christ was broken on the cross 2,000 years ago, the life of God was released. Amen. Released so that it could come back to the true believer, the true church. Amen. And then we go to Romans 8, and what's it say? Tell us in Romans 8. It said, of the same Spirit that raised him, Christ, from the dead, Amen. Dwells in you. It would also quicken, make alive Amen. Your mortal body, the same Spirit. If that Spirit can raise Jesus from the dead, that Spirit can raise you. It can quicken you. It can make you alive, praise God. That same life of God from the blood, the Holy Spirit. The life of God, praise God. That's the same Holy Spirit that overshadowed the Virgin Mary. The Bible says she conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she brought forth the child, Christ Jesus. Then Isaiah 9:6 calls him Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Born of a virgin. Born without original sin. No, he knew no sin and he had no sin. And he's a blameless, spotless Lamb of God. And we're looking at him here this evening. Praise God. Isn't he wonderful? It was a precious truth that we trust in Christ as a sacrifice for us. We may enter into all the blessings of his resurrection life. This we can only do is by faith. We do it by faith. And we, if we can apprehend and appropriate. Luke 17:5 says, Lord, increase our faith. Now I'm going to close this evening. It's almost 6, 7 o'clock already, and I know the time's flown, and I haven't got till the horns of the altar, the ashes. Never preached about the ashes before, but I've looked at it this time. There's so many things in this. And then this grid. You see this grid? This grid was in the midst of it. In the midst. And this grid was placed into this brazen altar in the midst. And then your ashes went below that. And there's a wonderful truth in them ashes. Every single element of this speaks of the Lord. So wonderful, so beautiful. Let us stand our feet this evening. I don't want to take any more time up tonight. Praise God. God bless you this evening. While we bow our heads this evening, as our brother prepares to come, is anyone's prayer tonight, wherever you are, in your home, in your car, in your vehicle, or in this room, lift your hand high to the Lord. I'm going to pray for you this evening, and if there's anyone not saved and you're tuned in tonight, the Bible says if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit would open your understanding to salvation, and you would come to the saving knowledge of the truth. Father in heaven, we thank you this evening for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and the work you've done on the cross. We bless you tonight that you've never changed. We bless you tonight that in you dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God was in you, reconciling the world unto himself. Lord, for this reason did you come, to destroy the works of the devil. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ tonight that you will destroy the works of the devil upon that man, upon that woman, upon that boy, and upon that girl in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Let the power of God go in this meeting and over these airwaves this evening. May we know your anointing power that breaks every fetter and every yoke in Jesus Christ's name. Save that man, save that woman, save the boy, save the girl, heal them and deliver them. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Lord, I pray that Timothy McDonald will know your touch. Yes. That the power of the Lord will come upon him. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ tonight. Deliver him. Amen. Set him free, Lord. Yes. Bring him into the house of God. Hallelujah. Do a work in his heart and his life. Yes. Restore him. Renew him. Give him a spring in his step and a leap in his heart for joy. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, I'm asking you for secret prayers that's been prayed. Prayers that's been prayed in the secret place. For loved ones, for those that's near and dear. For comfort, for strength. I pray for the blessing to come. For the strength to come. For the power of God to change the situation. Oh Lord, grant it, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, bless your people right now. Bless everyone tuned in right now. And as your brother Gary comes, bless him. Amen. And bless your people as we bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask again for the missionaries, for those in Lithuania. Lord, in your work, may you keep your hand mightily upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you as our brother Gary comes. God bless each one.
Let us sing that little chorus. Cast your burden onto Jesus. For he cares for you. Then we'll sing a, and I'll be singing a hymn then before we close.
Cast your burden.
soon in these closing days of time. What joy the glorious hope affords.